turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Looking down at verse 12. For what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. People making out like that they were Christ's apostles, and they were not. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan can make things look like it's okay to do it. Amen? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's got ministers, Brother Chavis, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This past week, they elected a senator in Georgia that's a Baptist minister in name. But I assure you, it's in name only. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to just read verse 1 in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Guess what I'm going to talk about today? Satan's activity. You know what? He's been working on me all this week. I had a printer to go out this week, and you can hardly find them anymore, the kind of printer I needed. So I had to get my brother in South Carolina to order me one. Me and my other brother here is going to go get it when it comes in. I went out this morning to print out my outline, and the monitor for the TV wouldn't even come on. It's dead in the water. What am I preaching on today? Satan's activity. Every time I preach about the devil, I have problems. Every time. Because, folks, he's alive, he's real, and he hates when we take a stand for the Lord. May God bless our hearts. Father, thank you for the word that warns us of the powers of darkness that strive against the church of Jesus Christ. But Lord, you've already defeated him. He's already defeated. Lord, and we have the victory through Jesus Christ. And in thee we trust. And we thank you for the grace of God that would save a sinner like me. And bless our people here today. Encourage them. Help us, Lord, to know you won't forsake us, but you'll be with us no matter what storm we face. In Christ's name, amen. 2020 was a year filled with many problems, unlike any we have ever seen because of COVID-19. Everywhere you go, people are talking about how bad 2020 was and how they just wish that year would end. Well, it's ended. And now we've started off this year, 2021, and it don't look any better. Amen. It doesn't look any better. People were in line to get food and supplies everywhere. People found it difficult to see doctors, dentists, lawyers, do banking. Churches have been limited in their services. For 2 or 3 weeks, I forget which, we even made CDs out here and sent them out. I don't know if anybody listened to the CDs or not, though. Businesses were shut down and many went under because of the pandemic. Lots of businesses are out of business because of what China did to the world. Because China's goal is to be the number one, to replace us. That's their goal. So they've loosed this virus over the whole world. We also saw an election filled with corruption and deceit last year. Never has there been a year like 2020 in my lifetime. However, 2021 may not be any better. Only time will tell. With what is going on in our government now, we'd better be praying. For one thing, I believe several things may be happening. First, judgment may be coming from the hand of God. Let's face it, there's too much sin in professing Christians today. Too much sin in amongst the professing Christians today. And that's all over the country. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time is come that judgment will begin at the house of God." And if it first begin with us, what shall be the end thereof of them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're going to be judged first, and then the world's going to get it. The reason we're getting it, because of sin. There are too many churches in name only. There are churches in name only. Many churches are places where people are entertained or given a false gospel, folks. Let's face it, there's not many really old-timey Bible churches. What have you heard since you came out here today? You heard the Word of God being taught. Then you had the Word of God being read to you. Now I'm up here trying to preach it to you. And we're going to dismiss when I get through. And what have you heard today? The Word of God. And even the songs declare it. That's what church is about, the Word of God. Amen. To build us up in the faith and to make us to be the people God wants us to be. But we got to listen to the Word of God. Amen. We got to listen and obey. There's too many ministers today afraid to preach lest they lose members or their paycheck. We got women preachers today in churches. Women preachers. The Bible does not permit that. We got gay preachers today. Did y'all know we got gay preachers today? We got many other false preachers today. I'm afraid we have a lot of religious churches, but not spiritual houses of worship. Churches are half empty, and many church people do not support the church with their tithes and their love offerings. I think about a lady I knew probably 15 years ago. She said, "Preacher, come by and get my tithe." So I'd rush to get over there and get her tithe. It was a dollar. tithe of a dollar. What is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. A tenth, that means $1 out of ten. Right? We had a man at the house the other day working, taking down grapevines. And this black guy, we were talking about tithes and stuff, and he got $20. How was it? You give him $20. Because she liked what they had did at the house, so she gave him $20, gave the other guy $20 extra besides what we paid him. And I said to him, I said, now you got to pay tithes on that $20. Now, he's not a Christian, but he sings in the choir. I said, you know how much a tithe is on $20? Yeah. Yeah, I said, how much is it? He said, $10. I said, yeah, you pay $10. See, that's why some people, they don't know more about a tithe than nothing. Yeah, amen. I'd love to have him out here with him. With this pandemic, Satan has hindered people from going to church. And a lot of people have used it as an excuse. It's an excuse, a convenient one. He has brought fear and discouragement to Christian people and to other people. Satan has attacked the church with this virus, and liberal leaders are persecuting believers who go to church against the rules of the state. California and other places, the northern states and all, where there's especially Democrat leaders, boy, they're really shutting the churches down. We here in North Carolina, we got a governor. He's a Democrat. But they all the same way. You've seen one, you've seen another one. For Christian church should be the center of our life. Is the church the center of your life? I want you to think about it. Is the church the center of your life? Our life should be revolving around Jesus Christ, our Savior, faithfully. We should be revolving around Him. He's our Lord, church. He's not only our Lord, He is the Lord. He's supposed to be number one. God has already said in Hebrews 10:25, we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The end of the age is coming, folks. I don't know where we get out of here today before the rapture takes place. I think it could be that close. Well, wouldn't that be a joy? Leave that Honda sitting on the parking lot. We are the people of God, and He has promised, He has purchased us for Himself. You saved? Amen. Well, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the Lord. Amen. Do we understand that?
Yes, sir. All good of price.
And we're to be faithful to Him. When adversity comes, we have two choices. We can either neglect our duty, or we can persecute and adjust. If we can just do what I want to do, or we can persecute and adjust. So we tried to, at one point when the COVID first started, we made some CDs for our church folks. That didn't be going too well. I didn't sense people were listening to the CDs. We should know that any believer who is willing to stand up for the truth and what is right is going to face problems. If you take a stand, Satan's going to come against you. So the solution for many seems to be, I ain't going to take a stand. He won't bother me then. And that works. But you see, you got to face God one day and give an account. Why didn't you stand up? We should know that any believer willing to stand up for the truth is going to face problems. Satan's job is not to allow a good work to continue without causing some problems. Look at the years we had people breaking our windows out till we finally had to go to the expense of having the whole church bricked up. Then after that, what did they do? They come into Gabriel. The devil is active, folks. He doesn't take a vacation. He don't take days off. He just keeps looking to see which one he can work with and use. He don't mess with the people out there that's unsaved. He's already got them. What he's trying to do now is to cause us that are saved not to be effective. As Christians, we have an enemy, and he hates us. Did you know you're hated today? It ain't the Democrats that hate you. It's the devil. He just works through them. I got to learn how to work this computer, too. We have an enemy. He hates us, and he's going to do all he can to keep us from being faithful. If he can keep Christians out of the Bible, you got a Bible? Do you read it? Besides on Sunday? Do you read your Sunday school lesson before you get to church? What about on Wednesday night? Do you read your lesson before you go to Bible study? If he can keep us out of the Bible, from praying, from tithing, and not being faithful to attend church, we're not going to be no threat to him. Satan just loves defeated Christians. He loves defeated Christians. Christians that don't take a stand. Secondly, God may be bringing judgment upon our nation because of all the sin that has been legalized by this nation. Look at the sins of liquor and drugs, abortion, gay marriages, transgender sex changes, to name just some of the gross, blatant sins our country has accepted and endorsed. Folks, he's a holy God. He hates sin. There's no such thing as a good sin to God. There's no such thing as a little sin to God. God has one category. Sin is sin. Brings judgment. This is the master plan of Satan, to destroy this nation. Why? This nation was built on the Judean belief in God. The Judean Christian belief in God. This is what this nation was built on. All you got to do is read our bylaws, our constitutions. And you go to the state houses and you look and see just how many statues are of some of our leaders, like Washington and Madison and Jefferson and all those guys. So Satan's master plan is to destroy this nation. Why? Not only were we built on the Bible, but we've been taking the Bible through missionaries all over the world. That's why. That's why Satan hates us. And you know when this idea about evolution started being taught in the public schools? That was just Satan's tactic to get people away from belief in God, to question God. That was his tactic. He's behind that. And educated people believe it. Look at what Hollywood is producing today, all these videos. You know, I've never played a video game. I never watch a Frankenstein movie or any of those violent. I don't watch such crap. I got enough problems without looking at something that bad. Satan hates this nation. He hates righteousness. He hates the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? It's going to damn him. It's already damned him. You know what? He's in a panic mood right now. He's in panic mood. Why? He sees his ends getting closer and closer. He knows what's going to happen to him. It appears the hand of God is being pulled back on our nation and allowing Satan to advance his strategy. Why? There's not enough Christians in the country to resist the satanic opposition. There is so few real born-again Christians. It would scare you if you really knew the number. There might be 80-something million who say they're Christians, but when it gets down to the bottom line, it's like maybe in the high, 27 million out of 330 million. You see how little we are? Satan has whittled down the crowd. He's whittling down the crowd. And when the church crowd is whittled with no praying going on, no faithful living for the Lord going on, he just plowing over us. And this is what's happened to our country. Christians did not put up a defense. Our educational institutes, from the lowest grades now, the lowest grades to the highest places of learning, have rejected the Word of God. Don't put the Bible in school. We don't want our children to hear about that stuff. And now there's an atheistic philosophy being taught them that we all evolved out of a mud hole from a lower form of life. Well, some of them act like they did, don't they? The Bible is clear, church, and it's already stated that in the last days, Life is going to be very stressful. Better get prepared. We may be fixing to face the music because of our indifference. I believe Jesus is talking about the end of the church age just before the rapture. If you're turning your Bible to Revelation chapter 3. We've been told in Revelation chapter 3 of the conditions of the church at the end of the church age. Jesus gave this now. In Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14, unto the church of the angel of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen. Jesus is the Amen. He's not the A woman, by the way. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, church, that thou art neither cold nor hot. In other words, the church can take it or leave it. That's the way they were. Hey, that was back in the first century. So then, because they are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew them out of my mouth. You make God sick, he said, the church does, in the last days. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked before God. That's the modern church. Some of these big churches, they got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. But they haven't been preaching the gospel. Do you see this today with many of the modern churches? Many people have big boats, big vehicles, big houses, big paying jobs, and no time for God. The Apostle Paul stated in this letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Folks, we're here. They are saying right now, the Democrats, led by Pelosi, that everybody that was for Trump, we're coming after you. That's a great hallelujah, isn't it? That's what they're saying. You supported Trump? We got to get rid of y'all. Well, God might have something to say about that, amen? God might just take us to be with him and they can have it. Amen? I mean, you can't outdo God. And God always sticks up for the helpless. God always sticks up for the little man. That trust in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord? Amen. You got to put it in practice. Amen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You ever seen such? Oh, they sell so much paint and powder today, making people look nice. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, grandma, mom, better raise them children. If you ain't got a peach tree, I'll give you a sprout. They make, mama used to get them about that long. Made me go pull them off the tree myself. Without natural affection, that's what we got today. Look, all the lesbians and transgender people. Good gracious alive, folks. How do you get so low down? That's how low the devil will lead you. You don't even know who you are, Brother Chavis. They don't even know who they are. despisers of those that do good. Yeah, they hate people that do good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. And Pelosi says, I pray for Trump every day. Don't make me have a heart attack right now. She got religion. People's got religion, folks, but what do you have? But denying the power thereof from such turn away, the scripture says. Better not depend on the religious crowd. We already see this in our society today, what I just read from the scriptures. The last days. There's a lot of I don't have time this morning to get into all that I'm sure we're in the last days. All you got to do is look at Israel as being come back to her country, been recognized as a nation again, got her capital now. And they already got some peace treaties signed up. Folks, we're close. And the current president-elect is going to probably be shipping money to Iran because he's going to sign that deal back up that Trump canceled. And now Ezekiel tells us that Iran and Russia is going to hook up with their allies of about seven or eight other countries. They're going to come down on Israel because they hate them people. Hey, that's when God's going to have a party. The Bible says God's just going to wipe them out. 86% of them is going to all be destroyed. They'll be going home like an old dog with his tail between his legs. Amen. We already see this in our society. We see no fear of God in this country. You hear tell of people afraid of God now, afraid to sin against God? No. Folks, I'm scared to sin against God. Our government back in the 60s with the Great Society of President Johnson, they began to take care of people who did not work. That's when all that started, back in the Great Society. We're going to start taking people that don't work. We're going to start paying them not to work. And then they begin taking care of single girls having babies out of wedlock. And boy, look what that's escalated into today. Back in my day, when we come along, you didn't have nothing like that. You had to root hog or die when we come along. God said that people were to work and don't eat. If you don't work, don't eat, God said. That's what 2 Thessalonians 3:12 says. Families used to take care of one another in the past. Now it's the government that's doing it. And we're over $28 trillion in debt, and it's fixing to be escalating. The Apostle Paul warned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 2, he said, preach the word.
Amen.
I'm trying to preach the word. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. What God says. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out. In other words, there's no time but what you don't preach the word. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, listen, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Most of our churches today got preachers or ministers, whatever you want to call them, reverend. I ain't never seen a reverend man in my life. The only reverent person was Jesus Christ, folks. I hate it when they put reverent before my name. I'm not reverent. Only God is reverent. They get all these preachers here. They got doctorates, PhDs. They're reverent so and so. Hey, and they're as liberal as they can be. Bible says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. This is what's happened to our country. Our country's believed a lie. Listening to false ministers that don't want to offend the people they stand before. God didn't give me this job to be popular. God gave me this job to preach the word. But as Christians, we must maintain our life of faith and keep pressing on. Just as the earlier followers of the Lord were persecuted, we too may have to endure some difficult days. That's why we need to walk close. That's why we need to walk close to the Lord. Because God is noticing. If you have to suffer, if you act, respond properly, if we respond properly, we'll get rewards for being persecuted. We got to watch getting into the flesh, retaliating. Those earlier believers counted it a privilege to suffer for the Lord. No matter what we must face, Jesus said he'd be with us. Fear not them which kill your body, but are not able to kill the soul. In Revelation chapter 6, you see under the altar, the souls of them that were persecuted and killed because of their faith. That's Revelation chapter 6 during the tribulation time. That'll be true. But the Bible says, rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. For a long time, we've had it good in our country as far as our freedom was concerned. But we may now begin to see an erosion of these freedoms with liberal politicians who hate guns, Jesus, and our values. They don't want us to have free speech. They don't want us to have our weapons. They want to control us. They want to put us on a lease. Shut up! That's what they're doing. You know I'm telling y'all the truth today. This is Satan's strategy. We have an entire political party now that does not want God in their party or government. And they have stated that. They do not like our beliefs that conflict with their political views. We must remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, beginning at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely. It's got to be falsely. For my sake, Jesus said, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. If you know anything about church history, their blood has been spilled ever since Abel. Yes, sir. Down through the centuries, God's people have been persecuted. They've been killed. People who wrote this book down to make copies of it, to print it out, they've been killed. They've had their work destroyed. And other men come and redo it so we'd have it today. So I can only warn that we may be in for some trying days in the future, and we better get prepared. We better get a mindset. We better get prayed up. Yeah. We as believers have better draw nigh to God. And God said, I'll draw nigh to you. We got to draw nigh to God. Then God will draw nigh to us. Remember, we are to pray for our leaders, even though they're wicked. They're deceived. They're just acting natural. Satan is their master. He's controlling them. He's leading them to hell. And Jesus loves those people. As wicked as they are, he loves them. Did you all know Jesus Christ died for all them Democrats? He loves them too. He don't want them to be lost. See, he knows they're deceived. We must continue to be a light in a dark world. That's who we're supposed to be, a light in a dark world. In Matthew 5 and 13, Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We're what's supposed to be preserving society, the church. This world is not our home. Oh, you know, I like to watch this old house on television. I just love to see those master carpenters build those beautiful houses. But I say to myself, why are they building such big, expensive houses? They're not going to be here long. They're not even going to be. Do you know what most of them are going to do when the children get out? They're going to sell that big mansion and go buy them a little cottage somewhere. People's all mixed up, folks. But what people should be doing is we should be living so that our mansion in heaven will be greater. Yeah, we're not to live for this world. We're just going to be here a little while. I don't know why he's let me stay here as long as he has. But I've walked through the cemetery many times, and there's a lot of children out in the cemetery. There's a lot of young people in the cemetery. There's a lot of young middle-aged people in the cemetery. You ain't going to be here long. And the wise person is going to be laying up for eternity. One of these mornings, Satan and all the wicked will trouble the children of God no more. Won't that be something to walk into hell, Brother Chavis? And there ain't no devil there, no wicked people there. God, what a day that's going to be when we go into the sunshine of the God's love and bask forevermore, evermore, folks. We won't even ever have a thought about any kind of problems. What a day, folks. Hey, and that's going to be forever. Let me end with this verse from Lamentations. I heard somebody comment on it last night, and I said, I want to use that today too. Lamentations chapter 3, you ought to have this marked in your Bible. Jeremiah wrote this down after he had seen Jerusalem leveled, burnt down, destroyed, and the people taken into Babylon captivity. Jeremiah the weeping prophet wrote Lamentations, and here's what he wrote. after all his people have been destroyed, the city burnt. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. With all that destruction, he said, I got hope. Isn't that great? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Think about God's compassion new every morning. And thy faithfulness. Jeremiah said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Put your hope in the Lord. Don't put your hope in me. Don't put your hope in the government, for heaven's sake. Please don't trust the government. My portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Did you get that verse? The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him, seeking the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3, 21 through 26. Now, I'll close with this. We can't do anything about our government, but pray for them. They got their plans, but they can only go as far as God allows. Amen? I would say this. I believe we're at the end of the church age, and the rapture could happen any second. And we're to be living, expecting that. Now, it could be 5 more years or 10, but that's not the point. You're supposed to be living today like you're expecting it today. That's the wise person's philosophy and belief. Satan's strategy is to destroy this country. Satan's strategy for you as a believer to cause you to compromise and not be faithful to the Lord. That's his strategy. Only you can resist and be faithful to the Lord. You have to determine that. You got to make up your mind that I'm going to serve the Lord, no matter what. It won't be easy, but the grace of God will help you to accomplish it. The grace of God will help you accomplish it. You'll have peace and joy. You'll have meaning and purpose in your life like you've never known. I'm telling you the truth today. I'm preaching the word today. The devil's after you, but he can't touch you because you got the shed blood of Jesus. Just stand up for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. Take a stand. And loving God, I pray you take the word, your word, that we've tried to preach to the hearts of your people. Encourage them, Lord. Give them the hope that they need today. Help them look beyond the circumstances of life to that future glory that's waiting all the children of God. Help us to walk humbly before you, Lord, not depending on ourselves, but depending on the Lord. Encourage the discouraged. Help the sickly, Lord. Lord, help the needy, Lord. Remember us all, Lord. We're made of the dust of the ground, but you put your spirit within us and made us a living soul that can live with you forever. And we thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts this morning. We'd invite you to the altar today. Come and bow down before the Lord, come down and seek the face of the Lord, come down and give yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, I just need you. I just want to be faithful to you.